This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's sitting down for a rare meeting today with congressional leaders as a government shutdown looms. ABC's Ellie Pecorin's on Capitol Hill.
Government funding requires 60 votes in the Senate to pass. There's only 53 Senate Republicans. So 7 Democrats are going to have to get on board with advancing whatever solution they come up with. And Democrats, at least for the time being, are very much holding the line. They're saying that they will not support this clean solution. They need to see some healthcare wins out of this if they're going to keep the government open.
Several mass shootings over the weekend in Michigan. A man drove his pickup truck into a church just south of Flint, opened fire, set the building on fire. At least 4 people killed, 8 wounded. 3 dead, 5 wounded in eastern North Carolina when a man in a boat opened fire on people who were sitting at a restaurant on a pier. And 2 were killed at an Indian casino along the Texas-Mexico border. That suspected gunman found nearly 200 miles away. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. A Republican candidate for Wisconsin governor has dropped out. Milwaukee-area business owner Bill Berrien told WISN political reporter Matt Smith that he doesn't see a path forward after the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that Berrien followed several sexually explicit writers online. Berrien announced he was running in July. His departure leaves 2 other Republicans, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and 7th District Congressman Tom Tiffany, along with numerous Democrats in the race to succeed Democrat Tony Evers, who's not seeking a third term. Partisan primaries are next August. Laura Benjamin has suspended her campaign for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District, citing the significant resources required to run a competitive race, while celebrating the progress her campaign has made in shaping the political conversation across the district. Benjamin said, quote, "From the very beginning, this campaign has been about everyday working people and moving toward bold, progressive solutions. I'm proud that we've inspired new conversations among Democrats in the Wisconsin 3rd about the fight for economic and social justice," end quote. Benjamin's campaign helped generate direct action and mutual aid, including holding 3 town halls, building coalition to support immigrant families, and working alongside Larry Little George of the Ho-Chunk Nation to advance the Federation of Sovereign Nations of Wisconsin, a new effort to ensure indigenous communities their rights. While suspending the campaign was not an easy decision, Benjamin acknowledged the reality of modern campaigning. She emphasized that this decision marks a transition, not an ending. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Disappointment in OT. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers kicked a 34-yard field goal as time expired in overtime to end with a 40-40 tie with the Dallas Cowboys. Head coach Matt LaFleur's reaction after the game.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. And that really bit us in the butt.
Running back Josh Jacobs scored 2 touchdowns. I asked him at his locker what it felt like ending in a tie.
Weird, honestly. That's the only way I can really explain it. I think the stuff before the half, we kind of like shot ourselves in the foot with.
Baseball. The Brewers came back to win 4-2 over the Reds Sunday. Their crew finished the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matnair joins us for Matnair Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matnair on Air. Jane Matnair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube and Twitter. Yeah. Our multi-state.
Yes.
Text to win.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the green and gold. Contest is underway, and we're going to get to the keyword in just a minute. I do like to give you a couple of minutes if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, because that's the only way to get into this contest. Mm-hmm. You have to enter the keyword via the Civic Media app. So here's what you do. Go to wherever you get your apps. Maybe it's Google Play. Mm-hmm. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It is
absolutely free.
And then when we give you the keyword, you will have until 10 o'clock, the rest of the hour, to text that in. Up for grabs, our daily prize through this week, every day this week. Our daily prize, $200 in cash and gold jewelry.
My goodness.
And then everyone is in the running for the grand prize, 2 club level indoor seats. This is crucial. Club level indoor seats to see Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon. We also give you a gas card to get you to and from the game. It's worth $1,550. Nice, nice prize.
Wonderful.
So we stick around for that. We're going to give you the keyword in just a little bit. But again, wanted to give you a chance to download the app if you do not have it yet. Shelley Pittman, Civic Media's news director, is going to be joining us after 9:30. Little recap of the weekend news and also what is coming up this week. Mm-hmm. Hour number two, our friend from UW-Madison, David Drake, who is in the wildlife program.
Yeah.
And this is not, unfortunately, it's about PFAS in our ducks.
Yes, in our ducks.
In our ducks.
In our ducks.
And so now they're asking you to limit your consumption of ducks because of this. So we're going to talk to David Drake about that. Also, they're on the move, the Monarchs. So just look over your head, and I guess you can wave as the Monarchs start heading back to Mexico.
Okay.
It's a long flight.
They're used to it. They're good.
There's so little.
Yeah, less. If I'm flying, I'm going to be really tired. But this few
you
ounces.
Think they got
ounces.
That?
Oh yeah,
no problem.
Oh yeah.
David Drake here in hour number two for Audio Sorbet after 10:30, where we like to lighten things up and get away from the news. Today is National Coffee Day.
Oh, you say.
It's National Coffee Day. By the way, coffee prices are only up 20%.
Boy, howdy.
But we wanted to talk about, do you drink coffee? Not everybody drinks coffee. I know Pat's producer, Parker, doesn't drink coffee.
I didn't start drinking coffee until later in life, so we'll talk about that as well.
So we'll be talking about, when did you start drinking coffee? Are you a coffee drinker? Do you not? I have a good friend, who only drinks decaf. I know. And I'm like, that kind of, there's, but then what's the point? Because she likes the way it tastes.
That's.
She's right. An aberration.
That's not the word I'd pick, but okay.
So, at National Coffee Day today, we'll be talking about your coffee habits and whether or not you're going to cut back. Yeah. Now that prices are rising and will likely continue to rise. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Cover Me edition. Stick around for that. That's coming up around 10:53. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Get your phone.
Oh, boy.
Open up the Civic Media app right now.
It's exciting.
And text in the word.
What could that word be, everybody?
Snap. S-N-A-P, snap, is the word. To text in right now, you have until 10 o'clock to text in the word snap, S-N-A-P, not nap. Judy, try again. From Wisconsin Rapids, but people are going fast and they're texting. So just take a little time, enter the word snap, S-N-A-P, and you are in the running for that daily prize of $200 in cash, gold jewelry, and then in the running for the grand prize, those tickets to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd, indoor club level tickets.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
That's going to be a fun time.
It is.
Yeah.
Snap is the word, S-N-A-P. Enter the word snap via the Civic Media app, and good luck. Your next chance is going to be coming up with Tom Hartman in the 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock hours. Then with Todd in the 3 o'clock hour, Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m. Pete Schwabba wrapping it up at 7 p.m. You have 7 chances every day starting with Pat Kreitlow.
And as a reminder, only for our keyword, only goes till 10.
Right.
Only until 10 o'clock.
Yep. You used to have the whole course of the show. Mm-hmm. Now it is just 1 hour. But again, we've given you 7 chances.
Yeah, we've given you enough chances throughout the day, friend.
Snap is the word. S-N-A-P. Text that in on the app, just like Robert in La Crosse and Anne-Marie in Brookfield and Karen in Racine and Linda. And I could just go through these all day. Julianne in Cronwetter. Cronenwetter.
That doesn't feel like a place.
Cronenwetter.
Spell that for me.
K R.
Oops. K R.
O N E N W E T T E R.
It's a village in Wisconsin.
Julianne from Cronwetter.
There we go. Okay. So we're looking.
Cronenwetter.
Okay. Yep.
Where is it?
It is. It is right next to Mosinee, next to, wow, all these wonderful places. Rib Mountain.
Yep. No, right now.
Yeah, it's in that area there about, northwest. Or no, actually, I'd say, I'm sorry, there we go. Central Wisconsin. Yeah.
See what we learn in this program.
See what we learn. Oh, my gosh. 8,353 people.
Love it.
Their main export, smiles. So.
Good luck. Robert LaCrosse, by the way, says, I drink only black tea. All right.
All right.
You can join us after.
Yeah, hey, you tea drinker, too. I mean,
join us after 10:30 for audio sorbet. And text in the word snap. Yeah. S-N-A-P. You have until 10 o'clock. A couple other sports notes we wanted to start with. That Packers overtime game.
Hey, guys, we're done.
40-40 tie with the Cowboys.
Blah. So if you go to civicmedia.us/shows, go to Matt and Aaron, go to this last Thursday's episode when the second hour, so that'd be the second posting. I don't remember the name of the episode off the top of my head. But if you listen to that episode, our discussion with Paul Noonan, at the end of it, specifically he says, there's no way the Cowboys win. Well, he was half right.
Well, yeah, that's true. They didn't win.
They didn't win. They didn't lose. We went full on European football and went for the tie. Sorry, Americans.
Could have been 0-0.
Yeah, exactly. 40-40, great tennis score. I mean, that's wonderful too.
Sure.
But yeah, I saw the OT and it was winding down and it was 37-40. I'm like, oh my gosh, the Cowboys are going to win. And then I woke up this morning and I looked and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because ties just don't really happen that often
in professional football. No.
And I don't know, Calvin, if you can answer this for me, do they only do one overtime? Because I know in baseball, well, they'll do extra innings.
It's who scores first.
Yeah, so it's a long critiqued flaw of the NFL overtime system. it used to be whoever scored first, and then they changed it to both teams got it, or the other team got a chance to have the ball if the first team scored only a field goal.
What is this, Pee Wee football?
Now they changed it to where both teams get a chance to possess the ball no matter what. But it can still end in a tie, which is different than college football, where college football has a completely different system where you just go back and forth until one team scores and one team doesn't, and then it ends. So it usually happens like once a season a game ends in a tie. So it's not uncommon, but it's definitely not.
It's pretty rare.
I guess I just don't understand, why is that sport of all sports? Like, why not just adopt what almost any other sport does, which is you do the overtime and whomever at the end of it has more points is the winner. And if there is a double overtime, you can do it. I don't know. Beyond that, I couldn't imagine double overtime in football. But, you know, it seems so convoluted to, because as far as I remembered, it was always, as you said, Calvin, it was the first team to score in the overtime wins, period. That's it. Done.
Right.
Which I never liked, because I just don't think that's fair. But now it's like, well, we could do this and you do that. Just play football for however many time in the OT. And then at the end of that, there you go. Seems pretty simple.
Apparently not.
No, we get a tie instead. And I'm sure people in Wisconsin are like, this is great.
Well, yeah, and that was last night's game.
Yep. Sorry. We're 2-1-1 now.
Yeah, if you stayed all the way up for that. On the really good side, the Brewers have locked up the best record in the league.
That's right.
Got to set a franchise record.
That's right.
They have now home field advantage.
That's right.
And a week off, which they need.
That's right, everybody. Yeah. The Brewers are somehow, I don't know, because this weekend was not stellar, but that's baseball. It's mathematics all the way. And I want to say something else. Shout out to the Brewers, because in that stand, the Reds also clinched the wild card. Yes. So the Brewers put their logo up so they could take pictures as well.
And that I'm was telling, a really classy thing
yes,
to do.
That is the Brewers all the way, in my opinion. And I say mwah to all the people involved in that, because I saw that at first. I'm like, I don't understand what this is. Then I read, I'm like, that's so nice.
I mean, if you can find it, I think it's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Yeah. There's a big picture of it. But yeah, they put up this great big graphic for Cincinnati and gave them a chance to celebrate, too, which, again, I thought that was just a class act.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the Brewers will begin the NLDS on Saturday. Our opponent will be the winner of the Cubs Padres wild card match, which starts today.
Okay.
And we'll know in a couple of days who they're facing. You know, as Paul put it, it would be best to have the Padres for many, many reasons. But yeah, we'll see what happens in those games, because it's going to be, it gets exciting.
This is exciting.
It's nice to not have to worry about like getting a wild, because that's what happened before. We get the wild card game
and then we lose
and we're out, and it's like, we got the postseason. I'm like, yeah, sort of, but okay. But yes, very, very exciting. Very, very excited for the Brewers. Wearing one of my Brewers jerseys today. Thank you, Cassandra, on the live
stream.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you've had several compliments on that. And Kevin in Ombro says, there were three ties last year.
Wow.
I did not know that, Kevin. Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, we do want to get to actual news things.
Oh, that's right. We're a radio show.
We are a radio show. A couple of changes as far as the governor's race here in Wisconsin happened over the weekend.
Yes.
One person is out. Another one is in.
I wonder who dropped out already.
Republican businessman Bill Berrien has dropped out of the race for governor. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Whitefish Bay manufacturer Bill Berrien dropping out, saying he does not see a way for him to win the GOP nomination. Berrien, who tried to compare himself to Donald Trump as a way of appealing to people, cited two reports from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week as his reason for leaving the race, saying they were, quote, clearly targeted to force me out of the race, unquote.
Okay, let's...
I have questions.
Okay.
So the Journal Sentinel, and this was Dan Bice, and this is what Dan Bice does. He's an investigative reporter, and he looks for muck.
He takes feathers and he ruffles them.
He does, and he's been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Journal Sentinel articles found that Berrien had scrubbed the accounts he was following online.
Yeah.
There's more details.
Yeah, well,
we'll get to in just a moment, so stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Say
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our multi-state text win. Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway. The word this hour to enter via the Civic Media app only is SNAP. S-N-A-P. SNAP is the word. You want to text it in right now. Up for grabs every day this week. $200 in cash, gold, jewelry, and then you're in the running for the grand prize. Two indoor club-level tickets for the Minnesota-Green Bay game November 23rd. Gas card to get you to and back. It's a pretty great prize.
That's a wonderful prize.
SNAP is the word, S-N-A-P. SNAP is the word. You have until 10 o'clock to enter that via the Civic Media app. Before we went to the break, we were talking about one person is in, one person is out of the governor's race here in Wisconsin. Bill Berrien, the Republican, has dropped out, saying it's because of the Journal Sentinel going after him and finding out he had followed some interesting people online. He followed a queer, trans, non-binary adult film performer, along with authors of sexually explicit essays. Berrien had entered the race talking about he's a conservative. Mm-hmm. He's got conservative family values. The Berrien campaign tried to downplay it this week. This from the Wisconsin Examiner, but it traveled across the internet. And one of the things was it's the going after people. It's the hypocrisy.
It's the hypocrisy.
It's the hypocrisy.
It's always the hypocrisy in it all, folks. It's always that.
And he says, this was a, Berrien says, this was a major attack piece. And for what? For reading. Nothing illegal, nothing unethical, nothing immoral, just reading. Wouldn't you want your political and business leaders to be widely read? Yes, I would. And in my estimation, this was his opportunity to explain what he had learned from following these accounts.
Yeah. But there are also other ways of, well, first of all, like just like a number one, like when you're going to run for an office like governor and you are going to run as a conservative MAGA candidate, your social media better be squeaky clean from top to bottom. That's just all there is to it.
Well, that's the automatic go-to right now for anybody who is up for anything.
But my thought, too, is that, look, hey, you want to learn? Great. I love that. I want people to learn. I want people to understand that these individuals pose no threat to our democracy, no threat to our children, no threat to anybody in a grand conspiratorial scheme as they've tried to put out there. And yes, you can find out things from these individuals. I'm sure they'd be, I don't know these individuals. I don't know their online presence. But I would bet dollars to donuts that they have, you know, information they're trying to relay as far as what their experiences are in the world. But there are other official ways you can say where you can be like, hey, I've met with these people. I've met with a trans ally group to talk about these things so I can become better informed. I've spoken to these trans creators. I've spoken to these individuals who are in the sphere of what I do not support, but I want to. There's 1,000 better ways to do it than get uptight in your britches when the press does a tiny bit of digging in your social media. And now you want to turn it into, because the guy who says he wants to learn is now the guy saying, well, they're trying to do a hit piece. No, they're doing their job. They did the research. You don't like that. Own up to it.
And again, if you are following these various accounts to learn things, then tell us what you learned.
Yeah.
That could have diffused a whole lot of stuff. Give us your insights now that you have been following these. But instead, he tried to scrub them.
Mm-hmm.
Internet is forever.
Absolutely.
Internet is forever.
Yep.
And that didn't work.
Yes.
So Bill Berrien is out. Missy Hughes on the Democratic side is in.
And who is Missy Hughes?
Missy Hughes, the former economic development chief under Tony Evers, has jumped into the gubernatorial race. The 57-year-old, who again served as the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019, stepped down from her post earlier this month. She says, I'm not a politician. That's the point.
Ah, yes.
To create a prosperous economy for the future in all 72 counties, we need a leader who knows what it takes to create jobs, support workers, and attract businesses. And I do want to say that at least under Governor Evers, especially during COVID, he spent a lot of resources and a lot of attention on small businesses in Wisconsin.
Because as politicians will tell you, they are the backbones of our nation.
Exactly. And Missy Hughes is the one who helped implement those policies.
And I'm going to, the story about her announcement will be in the show notes. Also, I'm going to look for the interview we did for her earlier this year, a few months ago, talking about her trip overseas with Governor Evers when new tariffs were being announced. So that will be in the show notes as well. When you go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air, and that will all be in today's show notes with the links you need for those discussions. But yeah, I'll put that in there as well. So you can get to know her
a little bit. And we will certainly make a reach and hopefully get her on the show. Yeah. We're going to have Kelda Roys on. Is going to be joining us, I believe, on Wednesday.
Tomorrow at 10:06.
All right. So again, we're going to try and get as many candidates on as possible. We still got a long way to go before that.
We're more than a year out, folks. You know,
it's
hunker down.
It's election season in Wisconsin again. Okay. Yeah. News is coming up next. And then when we come back, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Residents, families, staff, and community partners of Pine Valley Community Village are being notified that routine water testing at Pine Valley has detected the presence of E. coli bacteria in the water supply. The health and safety of residents and staff are of top priority. As soon as the test results were received, officials took immediate precautionary measures, including notifying the local health department, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and the Department of Natural Resources. Implementing water safety protocols, including the use of bottled water for drinking and food preparation, bathing, and other needs at this time. Contracts with Safe Water will continue to supply to ensure the safety to everyone, providing clear guidance to staff and residents to ensure compliance with safety measures and arranging for remediation and follow-up testing in accordance with regulatory guidelines. Handouts have been given to each resident, and POAs have been notified as well. At this time, no illnesses related to this finding have been reported at Pine Valley Community Village. All residents will continue to be monitored closely, and families will be kept updated. Officials with Pine Valley are working closely with local and state health authorities to ensure the safety of the water supply and will provide further updates as soon as test results confirm the water is safe for normal use. The DNR will be out within 30 days to complete a level 2 assessment to locate any further issues within the water system and help create a plan that ensures the quality of water is restored and maintained. If you have questions or concerns, contact Brittany Paulus, LNHA, at 608-647-2138. That's 647-2138. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Kelby coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are also in the midst of our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. The word to text in via the Civic Media app only.
Mm-hmm.
Don't email us.
Don't.
And don't text it in.
Traditionally text it in.
Don't traditionally text it in and don't leave it on the live stream. That's not going to enter you. You have to do it via the Civic Media app. Text in the word SNAP. S-N-A-P. SNAP is the word. You have until 10 o'clock to text that in to be in the running for our daily prize. $200 in cash. And gold jewelry.
Not snapped.
No, not snapped. Not S-N-A-P-P-E-D.
Mm-hmm.
Snap. S-N-A-P. And the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats. Indoor seats.
Mm.
To see the green and gold take on the purple, November 23rd. And we get you a gas card there and back as well. Yeah. It's a pretty great. So enter the word SNAP. S-N-A-P. You have until 10 o'clock and good luck. Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, joins us every Monday at this time. She's joining us on the phone to give us a little update. Good morning, Shally. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know you are in transit, so we appreciate you making time. Lots of things going on. Right before we stopped down for the bottom of the hour news, we were talking a little bit about Missy Hughes, who has jumped into the gubernatorial race on the Democratic side, and Bill Berrien, who has pulled out on the Republican side.
Yep, I heard you talking about that. And hey, it's the fall before an election year, so of course there's news over the weekend to talk about. Missy Hughes is running for governor. She joins a growing Democratic field, and where she's about 10 days out from quitting her job as the head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, or they don't like when you say this, but WEDIC. So there we go.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that because I've called it WEDIC for years, too, until I think it was when we were talking to Missy, and it's like, we don't call it that. It's like, oh, okay. I've been saying that for a long time.
I just finally heard that, actually.
But
habits die hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do. But Missy Hughes has a long history in business, correct?
Yeah, she worked for 17 years. As an executive at Organic Valley out in the Driftless region, I'm sure you've seen their milk and dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
It's a dairy cooperative in a state, in the dairy state. And, she headed up WEDIC and over, she was kind of handed a lot to deal with, right? The pandemic. Business recovery. She was also handed the Foxconn project, we're still talking about of what will become of those, that land, right, and data centers and everything else. But renegotiating that deal is something that she pointed to in her announcement.
It's so nice of you to call it a deal. I call it a boondoggle. The Foxconn con, essentially. But yes, you're right. Missy Hughes actually had to step in and make this into something, which they did. They made a deal with Microsoft. And that is a continually ongoing thing will happen. We'll see what happens with that. But then on the Republican side, as we mentioned, Bill Berrien is out.
Yep. He announced last Friday, kind of in the Friday news dump. I heard you reading from his announcement, and, I think that's kind of interesting, right? He said, I consider myself intellectually curious, and I thought it was a strength to read widely and show a broader intellectual interest.
Yep.
And said that, the media had essentially painted a sensational picture of him following certain accounts and that this was the product of opposition research that started in January. So, that was a quick run. But
it was, but
we hardly knew you, Bill.
Well, right. But again, I go back to if that was his explanation for following these accounts, which I think is a legit, I think that's legitimate. Then, yeah. Then explain what you learned from following those accounts mm-hmm. instead of trying to scrub them.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Dan Bice, right?
Dan Bice
is getting like yep. using the reporter, which I don't know if you personally have ever been the target of that, but using basic reporting that he is doing to say, this is what has happened. This is what is out there. This is what I found as a way of saying, well, it's because of the media. You said opposition research there and other people did the research and we found the information and there it is. And that's it. And I just feel like Dan Bice should not be the scapegoat here.
Well, and it's not opposition research has been part of politics for decades.
Centuries.
Right?
Centuries.
That's nothing new, Shelley, right?
No, that's a well-established part of the political process.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate a good Dan Bice article.
But, I mean, he shouldn't be surprised that they were digging around because that's what happens. Yeah. This is just, that's pretty standard in politics. And as Greg said, this has been going on forever.
It's been going on forever. So, like I said, Bill Bice, my goodness, sorry. So many names, so many people's names, everybody. Bill Barry, and we hardly knew thee, but we also, Shelley, got another very expected candidate dropping into the race last week with Tom Tiffany.
Yeah, it grew before it shrunk again in the Republican primary. Tom Tiffany announced on the Dan O'Donnell show, and then a day later had his launch event in a barn in Wausau. I was there. I joined WXCO reporter Isabella Nieto at this, frankly, very beautiful pastoral barn, in central Wisconsin. And, you know, he's going to be the front runner. He's a former state lawmaker, largely during the Walker administration. He's also a former dam tender. Do you guys know what that is?
A what tender?
A dam tender.
A dam tender.
Not the curse word. Actual physical dam.
Shelley, I know what a dam tender is. I know what a dam tender, but for those who don't, let them know. Tell them and, you know, inform them.
It's something I've learned in the last several months. The dam tender is someone who makes sure that the dam is functional. Tiffany described it as, you know, the gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany described it as getting paid to walk his dog, I believe along the Willow Flowage, right? But, you know, Wisconsin is also the state with, I think, the second worst record for dam failures. So, you know, everything has a wider focus. But,
so one could say that he's a dam failure.
Well, Greg.
I couldn't
resist the wonderful play on words. Thank you.
I want to go back to, are we paying Tom Tiffany to walk his dog?
Well, he's no longer a dam tender. Oh. He's now a congressman, right?
Yeah. Oh.
But, you know, that's how he got his start. He got his start in local politics. He was a state lawmaker for many years during the Walker administration. Notably, one kind of the key policy I remember from him that ended up coming to fruition was lifting the mining moratorium in Wisconsin, and he ended up doing that in 2017. Former Governor Scott Walker signed the bill into law in 2017, but that ended kind of a two-decade-long run in Wisconsin of no new kind of exploratory metallic mining. So, yeah.
And if you're just joining us, we are joined by Civic Media's news director, Shelley Pittman, joins us every Monday at this time just to do a little recap in case so much news happens now on a daily basis and it doesn't stop on weekends. So Shelley is here to give us a little update on things. And we've been talking about Bill Berrien is out of the gubernatorial race. We have Missy Hughes is in on the Democratic side. And, of course, Tom Tiffany announcing as well. I'm curious, though, Shelley, as far as Tom Tiffany's record goes, I'm curious as what he's going to tell people he did for Wisconsin as opposed to just things he stopped.
Well, you know, I'm not Congressman Tom Tiffany, but I know he touted things like Wisconsin's education record, or not touted, but pointed to Wisconsin's education record. You know, I think he listed a number of pretty straightforward Republican proposals. And, you know, I'm trying to remember. You can find her full article at WXCO, though, and you can also find the press video of the press scrum after his official announcement or official launch. In the speech that he gave last Wednesday. So I encourage you to go and watch it.
Yeah, you can check out all that stuff at XCO. You can check out civicmedia.us/news. That will be that's a great website with all of the news from all over Wisconsin. And things like that also end up in Civic Media Today, which is the brand new newsletter that no one asked me to plug just now.
also, we haven't talked about the Popcorn King in a while. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss could get one wish partially granted regarding Michael Gableman, everybody. Remember Michael Gableman? So what's going on with Michael Gableman?
Well, he could lose his law license, at least for a couple of years or longer, or he could not. It's up in the air, but a referee appointed, a court referee has recommended that Michael Gableman lose his law license for 3 years. Of course, Michael Gableman, the man behind the taxpayer probe into the 2020 election, who alleged vast conspiracy in the presidential results, but was not able to find it. And of course, also a former justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The case to advocate for Gableman to lose his license was brought by the liberal legal outfit Law Forward. And in a statement last Friday, they said that a 3-year suspension of his license wasn't enough. And the final determination will be made by the state Supreme Court. His former, you know,
co-workers,
boss.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
but I was trying to do the math.
And I just want to make clear too, at the beginning of when we talk about this too, this is something Robin Voss would like to see happen too, because it has been an embarrassment for Robin Voss because he's the one who appointed him.
Right.
And Robin Voss, because of everything that Michael Gableman did, which, as you said, Sholly, just now, was taxpayer funded, led Robin Voss to say the 2020 election was safe and fine and Joe
and
Biden
secure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're going to continue our discussion with Sholly Pittman, Civic Media News Director, on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to the vast statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the world on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just about 8 minutes left for you to enter our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. The word to text in on the Civic Media app. Only. It's the only way to enter. The word to text in by 10 o'clock is SNAP. S-N-A-P. The word is SNAP. S-N-A-P. Get that entry in. You're up for the daily prize, $200 in cash and gold jewelry, and the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd at noon. A gas card to get you there and back. It's a great prize. And so is the daily prize. SNAP is the word to enter by 10 o'clock. S-N-A-P. Spelling counts, and good luck. Civic Media News Director Shelly Pittman is our guest. She joins us every Monday at this time to do a little recap of the news, because so much happens every day now in the news. We wanted to talk a little bit about the environmental projects in Wisconsin. Shelly, what can you tell us about that, especially about this? You had mentioned the mining now opening back up in northern Wisconsin. I understand there's some movement there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on interrelated with politics and the environment. So let's start with the mining exploratory drilling. So a Canadian mining company called Greenlight Metals says it's found gold and copper in exploratory drilling in the Chequamegon Nicolet National Forest. That's according to reporting from WPR. And I wanted to highlight that there are here there's an opportunity to learn more if you're in the area on what's next from Greenlight Metals this Friday in Medford at 6 p.m. at the P-Town Saloon and Grill. So.
Hey, if you live in that area, it would be a great idea for you to attend this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd love love to hear. I'd love to hear, you know, what they have to say. You know, this is kind of preliminary, so I think we have some a while to go. But, you know, this is kind of a testing area. But, you know, this could come to Wisconsin. There's another environmental project, though, at kind of the other part of the state in your neck of the woods. That is happening tonight, or at least is inching forward tonight. The village of Caledonia near Racine could inch closer to another Microsoft data center. We talked about Foxconn before and how the village of Mount Pleasant has turned, or that old Foxconn facility or planned facility had been turned into a Microsoft data center. Well, there's another one potentially coming to the village of Caledonia. And so tonight, the Village Plan Commission is slated to consider rezoning the land for that project. I know we've heard a lot lately on the Civic Media Radio Network about all kinds of data center stuff, data centers all along Lake Michigan. So I thought folks might be interested in that.
And that's something, you know, I mean, we don't have a lot of time, and I know this is probably a bigger all-encompassing story, but ever since the Microsoft announcement on the Foxconn land, I feel like it has just been a barrage of data center information coming through the news as far as businesses wanting to. I've heard lobbyist commercials on the radio. It's becoming the hotly debated topic in the state, especially along our eastern coast that has access to the lake.
Well, it's all about the water.
It's always about the water. And that's just right. And that's just something, Charlie, I'm saying out loud now. Yeah, go on.
Which was also the concern, by the way, during Foxconn, right? There was concern that the Foxconn project would violate the Great State or the Great Lakes Water Compact, right? And I remember having this discussion 7 years ago. Yeah. But I did take a look at the proposed water usage and some of the closed loop facilities, and that's an area for further research, I think. It's not as much as the Foxconn project had proposed. You also mentioned there's a lot of information coming out about data centers. Well, in the village of Caledonia, it took a while to know who was proposing this data center. It actually took open records and folks submitting open records requests to find out that it was Microsoft, and it took a while. So, you know.
That is okay.
I
know you can't comment on this because you have journalistic integrity, but I don't. That is so snaky that we actually have to file FOIA in order to find out who is behind this. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
It is. And it makes you wonder, why wouldn't they want their name to be out there? Are they doing something bad?
Yeah.
I mean, you hide yourself like that. It just makes you go, that seems not good. And going back to water, I mean, this was the whole thing with Foxconn. That's why they wanted to be here. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people that want our water, you guys.
Yes, they do.
Lots and lots. And we're talking about billions of gallons.
Yeah.
A report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes, again, that's very much on one side, but they found that data centers could withdraw as much as 150 billion gallons over the next 5 years in the U.S. Something to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us every Monday at this time. Thank you so much, Shelley. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, folks. You rock.
Take care.
Bye.
News coming up next, and then David Drake will be here to talk about ducks and PFAS. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Is news from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Police still trying to come up with a solid motive for the shooting and fire set at an LDS church in Michigan on Sunday morning. Four people were killed when the gunman drove his truck into the church, opened fire with a high-powered rifle, and then set the building ablaze. Trapped in North Carolina when a gunman opened fire on people sitting at a pier along a river. The gunman was taking aim from a boat, says this witness, Steve Emmons.
He was, really was shooting fish in a barrel. Because if you ever look out there, it's a pier, where the end is, and his boat was right out there, and there's nowhere for anybody to go.
There are three people killed, at least five hurt. Democratic and Republican congressional leaders headed to the White House this afternoon in a last-ditch effort to avoid a government shutdown. Both sides have shown hardly any willingness to budge. This is ABC News.